Narada Vacha.
Narada Vacha.
Sri Narada says.
Sri Narada.
Deva.
Deva.
Oh, demigods.
Oh,
Deva.
Deva.
The demigods.
Deva.
Nama.
Nama.
Obeisances.
Obeisances.
Pay. Pay. Unto you.
Pass.
Astu.
Astu.
Are these flowers, they're wet, are they going to stain the cloth of the inner type? Does anyone know? Not better. Wait. Bhavana.
Bhavana.
The generator of all living beings.
The generator of all living beings.
Kurvaja.
Kurvaja.
The firstborn.
Tatvajani.
Tatvajani. Please explain that knowledge.
Please explain
the
knowledge. Yajnanam.
Which knowledge?
Atmatattva.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Nidarshanam.
Nidarshanam.
Specifically directs.
Specifically directs.
Sri Narada Muni asked Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. Purport. The perfection of the Parampara system, or the path of the super succession, is further confirmed. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Brahmaji, the first one of the enemy, received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord, and the same knowledge was imparted to Narada, the next disciple. Narada asked to receive the knowledge, and Brahmaji imparted it upon being asked. Therefore, asking for transcendental knowledge from the right person and receiving it properly is the regulation of the disciplic succession. This process is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. The inquisitive student must approach a qualified spiritual master to receive transcendental knowledge by surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. Knowledge received by submissive inquiries and service is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. A spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from Brahma and Narada has no demand for dollars and cents. A bona fide student has to satisfy him by sincere service to obtain knowledge of the relation and nature of the individual soul and the super soul. Om again, it's him and I'm just saying again, I'm just not sure if I have touch with the family, I touch my sheep. Understanding Krishna conscious knowledge is a very personal thing. And the ingredients for success are very personal. The process is not exactly like some kind of learning in school, in which everything depends on your kind of researching abilities or your ability to study in a material sense. Now, to understand this Krishna conscious knowledge, you have to adopt the personal things that allow for the assimilation of the knowledge. What allows for the assimilation of the knowledge is not simply a good memory or a good brain in the material sense. What allows for the assimilation of the knowledge is inquiry and service, a proper attitude. You notice Narada Muni's attitude in speaking to Brahmaji. O chief amongst the demigods, Deva Deva, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now, it's humble enough to offer respectful obeisances, but to beg to offer obeisances. This is the proper mood for assimilating transcendental knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pariprasnena Sevaya. If you want to know the truth about all the different yajnas that he's explaining in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, all the different forms of sacrifice, you should want to know the truth about sacrifice because this human form of life is meant for yajna. Now, once you sacrifice, once you agree to sacrifice, you should make sure you know what the best sacrifice is. And if you are studying the Vedic knowledge, it can seem a little bit bewildering. There's so many ways to sacrifice, so many types of austerity, so many types of renunciation. That's good because this is symptomatic. This profuse amount of sacrifice and austerity and penance, that is indicative of a high-class civilization. So many different ways, how to renounce, how to detach yourself, how to perform yajna, how to perform sacrifice. That means that there's a great wealth of real civilization. Still, Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you want to get to the best sacrifice, if you want to know the direct and express way, then you need to get some advice. That'll get you through all these different approaches and considerations. So, pari prashnena sevaya. You should ask questions, but the questions must be accompanied by service if you're going to understand the answers. Sometimes we find that maybe we don't ask any questions and also we don't render any service. Or sometimes we render service and we don't ask questions. But the proper blend is both. Both things are necessary for spiritual advancement. To ask questions and to render service. The rendering of service allows you to act, allows you to understand the answers to your questions. Of course, the rendering of service does allow you to ask a proper question. And the asking of questions allows that you render better service. Now, sometimes as devotees get older, when I say older, maybe, you know, 10, 15 years, they forget that still they should ask questions. A great enemy of spiritual advancement and something that could cause your downfall is when, after 10 or 15 years, you think you know it all and you stop asking questions about what are the impediments in my path? What could I be doing better? What are the particular hang-ups that I have? You should always be asking questions in terms of two categories. What are the things that will speed up my spiritual advancement, and what are the things that will slow it down, or that are slowing it down? Or what are the things that are right now speeding it up? At every moment, you should be thinking like that, because your career is to go back to God. At least I'd like that most of you take that as your career. Yesterday we were speaking about different aspects of the career. We pointed out some various possibilities for achievement. For example, how to become smarter than sex. That sounds really catchy. The whole world's caught by that, but we'll teach you how to be smarter than sex. It'll take some time, and there could be some, you know, bumps every once in a while, you know, bumps on your forehead, but in the end, you'll come out victorious. So, we hope all of you have taken up the career of how to go back to Godhead. Now, in doing that, you have to realize your life is going to be in a perpetual transformation. Don't be afraid of that. You see, sometimes older devotees, especially around the 10 or 15 year mark, they just all of a sudden slam the brakes on and just say, the way I am now is the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. That's why you hear from some older devotees, they tell you, oh, you're a young guy, you're fired up now, but just you wait. It was just you wait until you decide to slam the brakes on. But you don't have to decide to slam the brakes on. When you get to the 10 or 15 year old mark, you can keep going. But you have to maintain this attitude of constant transformation. And the transformation is based on asking questions. That's what our spiritual guide is there for. You're supposed to render service and ask questions. Not simply offer words of praise. No. Or shiver in awe and reverence. You're supposed to be asking questions. What can I do to improve my career? What can I do to get away from sense gratification and increase my attachment to Krishna? So if you become an older devotee and stop asking those kind of questions, to your spiritual master, then you go through some tough times. You see, we all have a natural material tendency for how much we can do. And for a while, that may be what's sustaining you in Krishna consciousness. But if you're really going to go on, you have to be guided and coaxed beyond your material capacity. Sometimes people can go on in Krishna consciousness based a lot on their material potency for 10 or 15, even 20 years. But there'll always be a point where you run out of petrol. You'll run out of your material petrol. And then one has to see, do you know the art of taking shelter of the internal potency? The internal potency doesn't run out. But if we've been just going through Krishna consciousness on our material potency, then after 10 or 15 years, no more petrol in the tank. What happened? And because we don't inquire, because we don't ask questions, we just think, well, it's quite obvious. I know myself. I know what's going on. I'll just deal with this in my own way. And then you just dig yourself into a deeper hole. So Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita is always meant for you. Not just when you're a new devotee. Just like here at the walk, we can see that when someone comes, they ask a lot of questions. Like Jared says, well, what do you think? I mean, you know, how's it look to you? You know. Now, Jared's success will be, does he do that after the 15-year mark? So this is what causes the kind of puzzling reaction you all sometimes experience in talking to older devotees. Because a lot of them, unfortunately, they slam the brakes on. Okay, let's hold it right there. I am the way I am. That's the way it's going to be. I've done all the evolving and transformation I'm going to be doing in this lifetime. I don't have to ask anybody about it. I know what's what. No, you should have compassion upon such persons. But at the same time, you should understand it's not going to work if you're going to achieve your career goals. Even Vidura, as great a devotee as Vidura was, he approached Maitreya. Pritchett Maharaj was already great, but still he approached Shukadeva Goswami. In this way, showing you that spiritual life is a constant transformation. And the transformation is gelled, or it's set into motion by the questions and the service. Therefore, it's very important. I know here everyone's rendering service, mostly. But you have to combine that with questions. Pari prashnena sevaya. That's Krishna's instruction. A devotee who's advancing is always inquiring about the process of devotional service. What are the pitfalls? What are the usual obstacles? Always remain like a child in terms of every day is new. Don't ever become a fossil. You can tell sometimes, unfortunately, older devotees can just kind of, okay, freeze themselves like a fossil. That's it. I've been there, done that, know it all. Why should I have to ask anybody? I've been around long enough not to ask questions. No. You should be around long enough to realize you always have to ask questions. You always have to have this mood of inquiry. These books are meant to aid your self-transformation. So when you read these books, you should be thinking, how are these books speaking to me? You should use these books to get inside yourself and turn yourself upside down. How many of you read like that? No. You should actually read these books. Of course, in the beginning, you may read just for curiosity. That's very good. But gradually, if you're going to go on reading these books, you should read them with an attitude that let the message penetrate inside and turn the upside down. That'll keep you from becoming a fossil. But what happens? How do devotees avoid this? They start getting into intellectualism, just trying to understand so many philosophical angles and exotic tangents, and they miss the whole point of self-transformation. That's why I don't advise that when you start reading a lot of other books, not because we say the other books, other Krishna conscious books are bad, not at all. But you'll generally, I see that that you only have a certain capacity, and if you don't apply that capacity to self-transformation, it goes just, you know, it just doesn't work. You need to bear down and read Prabhupada's books so that they get into your heart and turn you upside down. And that takes concentration. So that's why we stress that you should master these books, because these books are they do wonders for turning your life upside down in a wonderful way. So that's why I stress that you should read every day and you should study Prabhupada's books. That's why, because I don't want to see you kind of fritter away your concentration exploring this angle, that angle. Yes, there's so many books in the Vaishnava line, but you'll miss the point because your life is short and your concentration is small. You'll miss the point that you have to read to get inside yourself and turn yourself upside down. And for that purpose, Prabhupada's books are the best, there's no doubt about it. They're written in such a way that they're like an arrow that goes straight inside. We should always feel we need them. We need transformation. That way you'll never grow old in devotional service. Pati prasnena sevaya. Ask questions and render service. Those two things go together. If you're trying to please someone, don't you think that person would really appreciate it if you were asking questions? Oh, how do I do this better? Are things going along nicely? What are the pitfalls? What are the advantages? That's all part of love. Just like I'm concerned so much for all of you. Part of the reciprocation of that concern is you ask questions. It's not a mechanical relationship. Those of you who want that relationship, it's not a mechanical thing. I remember once I was somewhere in the world, and I had this dream that Kerry was in a car accident. Remember that? And I immediately called up. What's going on? What's happening with Kerry? Oh, what did you do? I'd almost fallen asleep with the wheels up. Here I was on the other side of the world. So, those of us who desire to be bound in that way, there is a relationship. And that relationship is not a mechanical thing. It's based on service, mutual exchange of service. You're doing your service, I'm doing my service. Prabhupada once said about himself, he said, I just see my disciples as little spiritual masters that Krishna has sent me to train up. So, you must ask questions, otherwise things become impersonal. And especially the older devotees, they forget this. The young ones, because it's new, they're always asking questions. What do you think this is a good idea? What do you think I should do? I'm at a crossroads now. Not going to school, not having a job, what do you think? But the older ones, older devotees, they have a tendency to just take things familiar. And they forget, questioning the same. They should always be inquiring, sharpening the sword to cut the knot of illusion. Older devotees especially should be concerned with how to love better. Because ultimately, Krishna consciousness is simply about love. But it's not a love that we are familiar with. We think love is sensual. No matter how many times you say it, still, you know, that's what's in everybody's mind. Then you say, oh, no, I'm beyond that. Isn't that everybody's reaction? No, we know better than that. Birth after birth, we've been obliterated by this misconception. So it's not that you can just deny it theoretically. You have to undergo a process of purification to get to real love. So we want to produce the best lovers. Just like every once in a while I give you tips from years of observation, scientific observation. I'll tell the ladies. And then they'll expose the men. Somebody will expose the ladies. I'll tell the ladies, the men have a problem. What is their problem? If you're going to be a married lady, you should know. Men have a difficult time discriminating between showing affection and lust. Very difficult. They think the two are synonymous. The ladies don't think like that. But you guys don't understand. For a man, it's very difficult to understand. They think, well, I want to be affectionate, so. Ladies can slip the line. Men can't. It takes a while for the guys to get a hint. It takes a while for the guys to actually understand this. They will, if they have a good wife. They will understand. It takes some time, though. So, that's the hint for the week. Now, you're supposed to go through this process, how to become the best lover. It's the most serious occupation, the most exciting occupation, but you have to allow yourself to become trained. And part of being trained is to ask questions and get the answers. The knowledge acquiring process is a very personal thing, as you can see the way Narada Muni is talking to Brahma. According to your attitude, that will determine how much you can understand. Because your attitude impresses someone or drives someone away. Similarly, your attitude towards devotional service is what Krishna is attracted to, because Krishna already has everything. We're using Krishna's property in his service to show him we have the right attitude. You understand this? Krishna already has everything. And it's a fact. Krishna can do everything without us. But we get a chance to use all these things in his service because we want to show our attitude. Now, what kind of attitude do you have? The quicker you can understand that bhakti yoga is an offering of attitude, then you'll start to see what's going on. That doesn't mean you don't endeavor, but you endeavor with the right attitude. Without endeavor, you won't have the right attitude. Suppose someone would tell you they care so much for you, but they don't do anything. Just look at my attitude. I care so much. But they don't do anything. That means actually they don't have the attitude. But the attitude is demonstrated in activity. That is the secret of bhakti yoga. Some of you who distribute books, you pick up this art. That is the attitude of how you endeavor that makes things so tasty. I always marvel about how here in New Zealand, none of you are, I would say, big distributors in terms of results, but you become big in terms of attitude, and therefore it's contagious. We want devotees to understand that book distribution is a communal affair, sankirtan, togetherness, and that attitude attracts others. So that is the secret of your success. And when you have that attitude as demonstrated in endeavor, then Krishna will use you. The flavor of sacrifice is very tasty to Krishna. The fact that you're sincerely endeavoring to do the best you can. You're sincerely feeling compassion for these crazy people. Well, we're all crazy too. The fact that you're trying, and you could be doing so many other things, but the fact is that you're trying. So once again, we don't want book distribution to simply be the activity of a few persons. Now, everyone can participate. Those of you who work, you can always take some books with you and, all right, if you just distribute a couple of books a week, very nice. But Krishna knows this person's making a special endeavor. Stu works. Still, you know, he distributed 2 books this week just by meeting people or something. Krishna's watching. He knows. He knows your life. But he's looking for that special effort of care. So we stress that our book distribution is an act of caring and compassion, personal concern. That makes the champions. We want champions of personal concern and compassion. And those kind of champions will inspire others to be champions of care and compassion. I just wonder, I'm amazed sometimes how some of you will just go on distributing books, even though you're not glorified as being, you know, top athlete or something. I realize that Krishna has blessed our book distributors with actual taste of care and compassion. People are feeling that care and compassion. And of course, how Krishna will use you in the future, you can't say. This is a lifetime calling of congregational glorification of Krishna. My godfather in Los Angeles, Burton Putty, he was the most in New Zealand for about 8 years. He was the president of Mershon for a while. So, he's 50 years old now. And he's still able, by Krishna's grace, to go out every day. But he didn't really come into his own until, you know, he was 48. And he's been distributing books since 1973. But he's kept at it. And gradually began to build. Competition also can be fun. But not everybody has this competitive drive. But everybody can show care and compassion. It's like Bhrigu Pati, he was going along at a certain pace, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Swami came, and so they had a competition. That doesn't have to be the motive for all devotees. Not everybody has that competitive impulse, especially ladies, they don't have that. It's a man's thing, they feel like, I'm gonna be number one, I'm gonna beat you. Oh, ladies have that too? Nah. Ladies want to care, right? So therefore we devise Sankirtan, as Terry can tell you from the very beginning, you know? You know, it's caring Sankirtan. Therefore the ladies immediately picked up on it. Ladies, you know, only for a short period of time can they get into this competition thing, and it's actually artificial for them. They want to nurture and nourish. For the men, you know, they like the competition thing. But not even all men these days, because the men are such wimps. They don't even have the male, you know, macho spirit anymore. That's what the ladies are wondering about. Where is the maleness? You always see a bunch of guys just totally capped out, you know? Just, you know? Like someone's taking a big, what do you call it, syringe and, you know, just pull out all your spinal fluid. So therefore, we can't even have intense competition because, amongst the men, because, you know, the men are pretty,
It's needed these days. I don't have that, you know, Kshatriya spirit, you know.
So, of course, that's the fault of the ladies. They've allowed the men to become degraded. So, some men, they like, you know, either they have it or after a while they develop it. You know, this male competitive spirit. That's nice, but it's not a universal thing. But everybody can show care and compassion. So that's the secret of our sankirtan. It's a personal thing. And everybody can be involved. Like, I'll never forget Adam's Radhastami sacrifice. Krishna's watching. He's noting, oh, something special, a special offering on Radhastami. How to maintain personal growth in Krishna consciousness. You have to be willing to sign up for constant transformation. You can't slam the brakes on your spiritual inquisitiveness. So this is what I know. Some of you get perplexed sometimes when you're talking to older devotees, because you just, you know, there seems to be like a gulf with some of them. The gulf is there because some have slammed on the brakes, and so therefore you become a little threatening to them. You notice if you talk to those who haven't slammed on the brakes, everything is fine. But those who slammed on the brakes, that's it. I progress all I'm going to do in this life. Where were you when I went through all my years of transformation? No, you have to keep going. And you maintain your momentum by asking questions while you're rendering service. But remember, the big mistake that older devotees make is they stop the inquisitive process. They don't ask their spiritual master anymore, you know, is my service pleasing? How can I improve? They just, hey, I'm doing service. Be thankful of that. I'm doing something, huh? So these are secrets, how to remain fresh in Krishna's service, and in this way you'll understand transcendental knowledge. So I'm hoping that some of you will remember these things and apply them. You know, you have to have your reward for giving up lust. Otherwise, you'll freak out. You'll think, I give that up, and what's there for me to get into? What's there for you to get into? The wonderful process of Krishna conscious transformation. That will take the place of carnality. Any questions?
How do we
by taking it very seriously. For example, what is your service? Whatever it is, take it very seriously. Are you an invalid? Huh? Are you an elderly lady? So you have lots of energy, don't you? So why don't you put it into Krishna's service with care and compassion? So you want me to help you do that? Sure. I'm not forcing you to, am I? You don't have to listen if you don't want to. Any other questions?
How do we just accept that
loudly?
maybe sometimes we might come in contact with one of the many corny breaks, and then sometimes make sure that, you know, you're just young and fired up and the things you're going through, and then make sure it's always like you're being bogged down.
Right.
How do we sort of discriminate? Because a lot of times it's been older devoted, so how do we protect ourselves against that?
Right. You can listen to what they have to say and realize that, you know, they have experience of various things, but doesn't mean you have to lose your enthusiasm in the process. And it's not true that everybody, you know, loses their enthusiasm. That's not true. Why is it said like that? Well, you're fired up now, but part of the process of bhakti is that as you get older, you lose your enthusiasm. Where is that stated? Vishastra? The losing of enthusiasm is our problem. It's not the problem of bhakti yoga. Not that I'm any great example, but so many people that always tell me, who've known me from the beginning. Still the same. Yeah, you haven't aged a bit. Yeah, those that have known me since 1973, they always say that. Still the same, still fired up, haven't aged a bit. So it's life is what you make it, you know? So appreciate the fact that they are trying to show some concern, but the concern is jaded. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, since I'm not fired up, you're also not going to be fired up. It's just like, you know, dealing with what ashram you take. Sometimes it's like when you're around householders and you're a brahmachari, they all want you to marry because they're married. And when you're a brahmachari and a household is around, you know, are you going to be a brahmachari? So, you know, kind of, you have a tendency to want to make everybody like you without understanding their individual circumstances. There is a way to be always fresh in Krishna's service, but you have to ask questions. So the main problem is that they stop asking questions. They just, okay, here I am. I've landed. After 10, 15 years, this is the way I am. No. If you keep asking questions, you'll continue to evolve. But that takes humility. Some, you know, they only get to a certain point in this life. Do their own choice, and then they take, in the next life, they begin from that point. Do their own choice. It's not inherent in the process of bhakti that there's a barrier. We put the barriers in, okay, you know. But still Krishna is so merciful. So understand that. Still Krishna is so merciful. Just like in a pool, there's the lanes for the fast, the medium, and the slow. Those of you who go swimming, you know that. The lanes are always there. You can choose which one you go in. It doesn't mean you have to be in the slow lane. You choose that. So we don't criticize, but we should be mindful of what our goals are. Personally, I try to help anyone no matter what speed they choose. You may be in the slow lane. It doesn't mean I don't know that there's a fast lane. But I can see you're attached. So still we try to help. And if you want the fast lane, we try to help that. If you want to sacrifice everything for Krishna, I never say, oh, it won't last. I never say that. I say, okay, we'll help you be all that you want to be. I don't think that's better. We'll help you be all that you want to be. and then we see how far you go. It's up to you. Just like some of the ladies a couple of days ago were asking, well, do all ladies have to get married? Is it inevitable that they, you know, head for a domestic life? So I brought up the point. Statistically, it is true that, you know, most devotees, male or female, will marry, and certainly most ladies will. But if you feel that that's not for you, then this is what you have to do. So I don't say, ah, forget it. It's, you know, you're doomed. It's going to happen. Pick somebody now. It's for sure going to happen. If you feel that way, and just like Carrie knows, I told her, this will be the difficulties, these will be the, you know, these can be the impediments, you know. Sometimes you're going to feel lonely, sometimes the mind will say no one cares, like that. But if you can handle all that, you really start reaping your rewards in your 40s. And it's like, wow. 20s and 30s are a bit of a battle. So, we don't say, oh, every woman will marry, so. It's mostly true that almost all of them will, but if you feel something in your heart, right, and you're willing to pay the price for it, then we try to help. And you can say, oh, Johnny, you're what, 22 years old? You're a 22-year-old guy. You're going to space out for sure. No. Johnny, what do you really feel like you want to try to do? And if you want that, this is the price you have to pay. That's all. We don't know. Johnny could be the, become a super empowered preacher or book distributor. We don't know. You don't know how it's going to turn out just by looking at people, how they are in the beginning. Lord Caitanya is merciful to everyone. You don't know what Carrie will be up to in 10 years, how Lord Caitanya will use her. You don't know. I do know, Prabhupada told one of my god sisters, that if you just keep going out on Sankirtan every day, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. Now, to go out on Sankirtan every day, you have to be in a constant process of transformation, otherwise you can't do it. You have to be constantly challenging yourself internally, internal development. Because you think Maya is just going to sit back and say, okay, Gary, go out on Sankirtan every day, I'll give you no problem. Forget it. Maya's job is to make sure you really want what you say. And in that effort to act according to our goals, to please Krishna. Krishna's pleased. Don't think it's all a cold-hearted struggle against Maya. Why is there Maya? Why do I have to, you know, suffer these material desires? You practically start to blame Krishna. I'm sincere. Why do I have these desires? And Krishna is pleased by your struggle to conquer the lower self. It's a very important thing. What if you had a husband or wife who really struggled to conquer temptation to be with others, to stay with you? You'd be very impressed with them. This is a real relationship. Even when my spouse might feel be feeling attraction to someone else, she just struggles through it. He just struggles through it. He stays true to me. I've seen couples like that, you know. Especially the wise. The wise know when to be confident.
I'm not worried about him. He's not going anywhere.
Then they're really you know, in life having the man that is.
Worried about him?
Oh.
Yeah.
I know he's talking to so-and-so, but I know where he's at. Give me some advice.
Nothing serious. I know him. He'll be there.
So don't you think it'd be nice that Krishna would have that attitude about us? Just be my devotee, purposely struggling through contamination to become pure, to become my instrument. So don't think it's all a cold, heartless struggle, you know? Controlling the senses, controlling your mind. It's an offering of love. Any other questions?
So you may become discouraged from inquiry. The inquiry is still valid.
And I discourage you?
We may be discouraged because we can't follow the instructions. So
Dang, you ask! I'm having difficulty following instructions, so can you give me some help? If you're trying to follow an instruction and you ask for help, that's very good. Not that Jesus said, oh, that's impossible. Okay, I expect you to take care of your health. Is that difficult? Well, now you have a health helper. Use whatever you get in Krishna's service. That's the name of the game. Yukta Vairagya. The more successful you are at that, the more Krishna conscious you become. Husbands and wives are meant to be employed in Krishna's service. Hear the holy name. Make that your number one motivation. Instead of your mind feeling bad because of this mood or that mood, you should be thinking, I can't hear the Hare Krishna mantra. That should be your anxiety. And then ask questions. You're rendering service, so ask questions on top of that. That's, those two things form the process. It's a very personal thing. Through the six loving exchanges, make an effort to diligently follow those six loving exchanges. Siddhati, Prajnanati. Accepting prasad, giving prasad, revealing the mind, having the mind revealed to you, giving gifts, receiving gifts. Those things prevent impersonals if you seriously endeavor to apply them. Krishna is a person, and the best personal arts are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Even we were hearing the other day, things like dance and music, it's all meant for Krishna's personal pleasure. And originally all those arts come from Krishna transferring the nectar from his mouth to the mouth of his consorts. That's how they learn how to please Krishna. What does anybody learn from you if you transfer your saliva?
Oh, it's a bunch of germs.
Well, Krishna's body is all spiritual. When the nectar from his mouth is transferred to the mouth of his consorts, they develop the abilities of arts and music, all for giving pleasure to Krishna. Krishna has a body. So if you want to be body conscious, you think of Krishna's body. All right? Yes? Hear the Hare Krishna mantra. The heart is hard because we've been abused in material life. Everybody these days is an abuse case. There has to be at least one person you really care for. The heart is hard because of scars. Put your heart into satisfying your spiritual master, that will become strong. Water the heart by chanting the holy name. Yes, everybody should be hard-hearted from their abuse in the material world. But Krishna deserves the best of your heart. You see, now you have a worthy investment for your heart. What frustrated you before was you didn't have a worthy investment for your heart. But put your heart into devotional service. Understand? Everybody's been abused. Men are horrible these days, women are horrible these days. Isn't that true? Everyone's horrible these days. The society has turned them into just a bunch of dogs, street dogs. The men were aggressively doing that, now the ladies want their chance. Chant the holy name with care and attention. Gradually these things will fall. Yes, society today is a disaster. No doubt about it. It's producing, at best, Western society is producing well-dressed, well-fed miscreants. Internal disasters dressed nicely externally. The shops are full, you know, the electronic conveniences are everywhere, but everyone's an internal disaster inside. You can easily see that in New Zealand. For now, everything externally looks peaceful. You know, there's shops, you know, there's the, what is it called, the wind, where? Right, there's that, yeah. There's the shops, you know, it's all there. But inside people's hearts, they're becoming disasters. So what we're trying to do here is reach out to the stricken people. This is an outreach place. We try to show you love and then ask you to love others. But it's not a sentimental love. It's a love based on the fact that you know you're going to, you have the chance to be all that you can be in Krishna consciousness, and you're going to give that opportunity to others. So what if some people fail? So what if half the candidates to Krishna consciousness fail? They'll never lose that progress. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare